You guys clap?
Yes.
All right.
See, it was so in sync that you didn't even hear us clap.
Yeah, I didn't even hear it. All right, Darren, intro? No, it's you, Mr. Intro Man.
Oh, welcome back to our podcast. We are the Main Phase Op crew. Today we have me and two other people here. You guys want to introduce yourselves? Oh, I'm Darren, yeah.
I'm Micah.
I'm Kevin.
Do we? I mean, this is like episode 20 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is it episode? Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, I guess it's not our first time, but I guess.
It's who's here, I guess.
Yeah.
Was that the intro?
Okay.
Oh, and today we are going to be doing our top five lists for Lost Caverns of Ixalan.
Yes, yes.
I was worried for a second you were going to forget what it was called because we just have LCI written there.
I know.
Did you guys stick to rares and mythics? Cause
no.
I kind of did. Oh, you guys didn't? Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't think I went out of my way, but...
Okay.
There were some that were close.
I think mine are more... I think I have three uncommons.
Oh, really?
That's good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with our number fives then. We'll just go in order of the sheet. So, Kevin.
Okay, so my number five, it's a double-faced card. So the front side is Spring-Loaded Sawblades. It costs one and a white. It is an artifact, and it is uncommon. And it has flash. And it says, when Spring-Loaded Sawblades enters the battlefield, it deals 5 damage to target tap creature an opponent controls. So it's double-sided because the backside, you can flip it if you craft with artifact. So the craft is a new mechanic here, so just read it. Craft is you pay mana cost, you exile the artifact, the specific card, as well as another card. Either says artifact or merfolk or a card with activated abilities from either the field or the graveyard. And you get to flip this card over. So when you flip this over, it turns into Bladewheel Chariot. It is a vehicle, and it says, tap 2 other untapped artifacts you control. Bladewheel Chariot becomes an artifact creature until end of turn. Otherwise, you can activate it with a crew of 1, and it is a 5/5. Yeah, is a bit of a mouthful, but yeah, because it's a double-sided card, and it has a new mechanic.
It is.
So, I think when it was first spoiled, I already liked this card. Well, one, because I like playing artifacts and cheap stuff. But it kind of provides value on both sides. Early game, it 5 damage. It's almost like an Unholy Heat. And for white, usually white's main form of damage is hitting, attacking, or blocking creatures. And usually it's 4 or less. I don't know if you guys know this, but a lot of cards that do that do 4 or less damage.
Yeah,
so for
yeah.
me, the 5 really stands out. And then, I mean, it stays on the board as an artifact, so you might need for Metalcraft or other shenanigans with it. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is the crafting. Later on, like maybe mid to late game, you can flip this over and it actually turns into a clock for your opponent because a 5/5 creature is pretty good. And I like the crew 1 because it's really cheap. And even as an alternate cost to activate it into a creature. So I think it's very versatile. I think having it stay on the board as an artifact, it's already a plus with the damage, and then having it pay off later on is even better.
Yeah. I am surprised this is an uncommon.
Yeah, when I first saw it too, I was like,
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. I do like what you said, like everything, it's kind of value on both sides. It 5 damage, like especially in modern, that's pretty much just kill anything, right? It's basically a destroy target tapped creature.
Pretty much, even runs over like, I mean, elementals, which are the most common ones right now.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I know people were talking about it, but yeah, this really fits well, especially in like those artifact decks. I could see it in like, yeah, like you said, it fits with Metalcraft stuff. I feel like this could fit in Hammer Time, like in the side even. Because
yes.
It is basically like a clock. Like it's both removal and like a good grindy late game creature. It's pretty good. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
there, you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I like the crew one, because Memnite can hit it. Memnite can crew it like an Ink Moth.
Two Ornithopters can crew it.
Oh, true.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's even. That's so true. Pretty, yeah.
That's crazy.
This card's pretty good. Yeah.
And it's not legendary.
It's not.
That's cool.
It's funny. I was telling Darren, because I already ordered some pre-order stuff. None of the cards on my list I actually ordered.
Really? You didn't get this?
Yeah.
I feel like this would be the one you...
I didn't. I didn't know why. I was like, oh, yeah, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, this is nice. I like this. So, do you think you're going to play it? Like, sideboard maybe even?
I think in Modern, I think it deserves consideration. It might need some adjusting on the main deck to see how you can make it fit. Just because of the craft ability.
Yeah.
But I think usually because, like we said, like with Hammer Time, they kind of get rid of your artifacts on the board. So I think crafting it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, I can see this. Yeah, it's good. All right. My fifth card that I just added right now is the Myco Tyrant. Costs one green black. It's a legendary creature, Elder Fungus, with trample, and it has its power and toughness are each equal to the number of creatures you control that are fungi and or sapperlings. And it has, at the beginning of your end step, create X11 black fungus creature tokens with this creature can't block, where X is the number of times you descended this turn. And descend is another new mechanic. Descending, or to descend, like the verb, means you descend each time a permanent card is put into your graveyard from anywhere. And has star and power toughness based on fungi. So I like this because it's very Golgari, first of all. Very graveyard-likey. It has trample, so it is evasive. And this can get pretty big. Like, it kind of feeds itself. As long as you have some way to descend each turn. And I need to, like, see how descend... how consistently you can descend to really see how well this does. But I... like it just from the get-go. It's a lot of text. It has trample, and I always like the sapperling and fungus creature types. I can see this fitting somewhere, like maybe a self mill deck especially. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I kind of agree, like especially about the descent mechanic, because I think when it first came out there was some confusion about what counts as descending. And then kind of like what you said, self mill works because it's from anywhere, but the thing is it has to be a permanent card,
right?
So instant and sorceries don't work, and tokens don't apply to it because tokens don't go to the graveyard.
Yeah. Permanent card.
Permanent card. Yeah, see, that's the thing that makes it tricky.
Yeah, it's weird.
So but okay. I do agree though. I think if you have a way to kind of like pump this, and I think Golgari in this set is kind of built to do that. I think black has a lot of sacrifice outlets here. You can really get something going with this, which I think I like. It's a cheap card, like cost 3 with trample, so you're definitely gonna be hitting big with this, especially if your deck is built for it.
Yeah, very Golgari there.
Yeah, so I think it's really easy to actually descend.
Oh, really?
Anytime a permanent goes into the graveyard, right? So if you're playing Historic, you have access to Grisly Salvage, and you have access to
Satyr Wayfinder.
Satyr Wayfinder. In Standard, Explorer is a mechanic, so that's also a thing that you can do. It's like, it's really easy. So this can kind of go crazy. It just can't block, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
I don't think you'd want it to. Like, he means like it's attacking, I think.
Yeah.
Or do you mean the tokens?
Or the tokens.
The tokens.
Yeah.
The tokens.
Oh, the tokens.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good card. I think it's a very good card.
There is a caveat because it says at the beginning of your end step, so you can't really like instant speed mill yourself and then try to get the tokens, because it says add your end step and then number of times you descended this turn, so you kind of have to play around with it. But I think it can work. And black, I've seen some, because there's a black removal spell. I don't know if you guys have it on the list. I think it's called Bitter End or something.
I saw that one.
It's like destroy target creature or planeswalker, and you can, as an additional cost, it's like pay 3 life or discard.
Discard.
Wait, what? It's easy. Like you said, the set probably has like Golgari playing around with Descent. So I want to see it work. I want to play this.
Another thing I was thinking of, it's kind of triple colors, but those red discard spells, like Goblin Lore and all those other things.
In Modern, huh?
And I did just check just now if Necrogoyf was a fungi or sapling.
Oh, no. No, please, no more.
No more. Yeah. No more. I want to see it. No. I'm going to do it. Okay. I'm going to make it happen. Jun.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, Darren, your card.
Okay, your fifth. This is Contested Ball Game. Okay, so it's a 2-mana artifact. Whenever you're dealt combat damage, the attacking player gains control of Contested Game Ball. Did I say ball game? Game ball. And untaps it. Okay. Two and tap. Draw a card and put a point counter on Contested Game Ball. Then, if it has 5 or more point counters on it, sacrifice it and create a treasure token. I think this is a fun card. Reminds me of Jinxed Idol, where you just pass the card around and it messes up with like what people want to do. Yeah, it's fun. I like this card. But it's also, you can pass it around naturally by just dealing damage to people instead of just forcibly trying to like give things to people. So it naturally does it. I like this card. It's funny.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's competitive? Or like...
Oh, no. <All right>.
It is fun. It's like kind of like a mini game.
It is a mini game. I want to build a deck with all of just like these mini game like decks. Just other cards like passing things around.
I mean, if you're built around it, you're probably going to get more of the procs, right? Drawing. Then the sack kind of thing is kind of underwhelming, but that's probably less of the point. It's just passing it around.
Well, it has a draw engine kind of.
Yeah,
which evens it out.
Yeah.
It draws 5 cards, okay?
Well, it makes 5 cards within like the pod, I'm sure. You know?
Yeah. You gotta believe.
This just reminds me of Eldorado.
Exactly. Yeah, I think like when this first came out, like people were like talking about Eldorado. Like the hips.
Do you like it, Kevin?
I like it. I like it more as a fun of, I think, which is why Darren kind of put this in. I do like how it kind of works mechanically, where there's a ball game and then whoever has the ball is the one scoring the points. And like the points meaning you get to draw a card. And then I guess whoever gets the final one gets a treasure, which is I guess the gold or like whatever the prize is at the end. I mean, it's nothing too spectacular, but I think if you play this in a multiplayer game, it does make for some fun shenanigans because whoever attacks you kind of becomes like a focus of other people.
Yeah, it's funny.
In multiplayer. So they either don't attack you so that they don't get attacked, but then if they do that, you're kind of like, hey, I'm drawing cards on my own. And then someone steals the last point from you and like takes it.
I'm gonna put this in every deck I have now.
It's pretty fun.
Play 4 of them on the board, you'll be
like, oh my gosh.
There's it's 4 like, games happening right
there's
now.
There's mechanic, like, when you have that status, you draw a card, an extra card every turn, and then if someone hits you, they become
the Monarch.
Oh, yeah, Monarch is a Monarch? Yeah. It's like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit.
And there was a card back in Strixhaven that was kind of like this, that stadium card where like you score like 10 points or something. I forgot what it did.
Oh, yeah. Was that Strixhaven? I don't remember. I don't think I ever saw it. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I like this from a mechanical standpoint.
Yeah, it's very, very flavorful.
Yeah.
All right. Number 4. Yeah.
Number 4 is already. So my number 4 is... I picked such long names for all of them.
So much text.
Anim Pakal, Thousand Moon. She costs 1, a red and a white. Legendary creature, human soldier, and it says, whenever you attack with one or more non-gnome creatures, put a +1/+1 counter on Anim Pakal, then create X11 colorless gnome artifact creature tokens that are tapped and attacking, where X is the number of +1/+1 counters on Anim Pakal. And she starts off as a 1/2, and she's a rare. So, I mean, not because I play Boros mostly, but obligatory Boros card. There was another Boros card I was looking at, but I'll save that when I order it, maybe. But I like this one because it's a very flexible trigger. She doesn't have to attack for it to activate. So even if you drop her on curve, you're going to get a trigger right away. And it might start off small. You get a +1 counter on her and then one gnome token. But at turn 4, when you're going to get two gnomes and a +2/+2 on her, I think that triggers a lot of things. I guess starting from standard, Celebration, Thrones of Eldraine, Wilds of Eldraine, because you'd have two things entering the battlefield. Artifact synergies, because the gnomes are artifacts. It is kind of a go. It kind of reminds me of is it Legion Warboss?
I know what you're talking about. It does.
Is it the other Krenko?
Yes, it's Krenko.
Okay, it's Krenko. The
Kingpin. Yeah. It's pretty Street similar.
It's kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like how it kind of plays like that.
It does. It does.
But I like it. I mean, Krenko was good, but I like this one too because of the artifact synergy that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this also helps enable, maybe in standard in other formats, like something a bit more like go wide aggro without committing your board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I do like it. I wish it was like maybe a 1/3.
But that'd be
like,
nice.
Yeah, like you said, it doesn't have to swing itself. So I can just stick around and then it'll get bigger itself and your board will go very wide. As long as you're built correctly, right? Like, because you want... I mean, a lot of creatures aren't gnomes, so you're probably going to trigger just by swinging. But, I'm just curious, like, how... Would you put this in, like, just a super aggro deck? In, like, a mid-range deck? I don't know.
I would probably put it in a deck that... I was thinking Battlecry.
Oh, okay.
Because was Battlecry recently, like, printed somewhere? I feel like...
I think it's in the set,
right? Yeah. That's why I always wanted to ask, does it trigger with attacking gnomes, or is it too late for them to get the buff from the Battlecry?
That's a question. That is a question.
I think you can order the triggers, right? Because is Battlecry an attack trigger?
Battlecry is...
I don't know. I never see that mechanic, so I don't know.
So the wording is whenever this creature attacks.
Each other attacking creature get +1/+0 until end of turn.
Each it.
So whenever this creature attacks, so I think...
Yeah, I think you can order it, right?
You can order it.
Yeah, then they'll get it.
Because this one also triggers whenever you attack.
When you attack.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's spicy. Yeah, it's good on paper. I just don't know the shell it would fit in. But right. I want to see. It's pretty good.
Yeah. The current soldier deck in standard, is it mono white or is it Azorius? Because I just noticed right now she's a soldier.
Yeah, I see mostly mono white.
Mono white.
Oh, I thought it was Azorius for the.
What's the? Yeah, I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe there's the a different shell. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Who plays standard? I don't know.
I've seen Azorius lists because there's like one. There's one that taps, and then there's like the white and blue one that pumps. Creature pumps other soldiers or something like that.
I don't know. I believe you. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm probably spreading misinformation.
What do you think of this? So what do you think of this card, Darren?
I like this card. I feel like it just fits in any Boros deck. Any like Boros deck that likes to go attack and go wide, which is a lot of Boros decks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not all, but I like it. I like what it's trying to do. It feels like it's an easy include into a lot of decks, which is weird. But I like it. I like it. There's a Boros deck that I'm trying to kind of bring back, so it might go in there. So we'll see. Okay.
Very valuey.
Yeah, 100%. This is really strong.
Mm-hmm. All right, my number four is the Skull Spore Nexus. I don't know why my cards have the whole lot. This is it costs 6 green green, legendary artifact. It's a mythic, and it has this spell costs X less to cast, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control, like Galta, and the Great Henge. Whenever one or more non-token creatures you control die, create a green fungus dinosaur creature token with base power and toughness, each equal to the total power of those creatures. Green. Yeah. And then it has an ability, activate ability, costs 2 and tap, double target creature's power until end of turn. So I like this. Obviously, like in the decks that would also run that spell costs less X less to cast. Mechanic? Thing. Yeah. Obviously, this goes super well in like mono green stompy decks. Doesn't have to be mono green, just stompy decks. I see this as a more like aggro Great Henge, because it's like a legendary artifact, and it has like board wipe protection, creature removal protection, because it basically comes back. It's a vanilla, but you get, you know, it's gonna be a big creature. The wording is kind of weird, where if all your creatures die, you just get one token, right, and then the base power is all of them combined, which is still nice. And especially with that activated ability, which is actually pretty cheap, doubling something's power, I think I'm going to run a bunch of these. Because I love stompy decks. I love even Gruul stompy, monogreen stompy. Oh, I love this.
Wait, hold. That's actually really funny. When everything dies, just one thing comes out. It's going to be a big, like,
it's like that Yu-Gi-Oh
mushroom dinosaur.
The meteor.
It is. It's Nibiru.
I don't know. Oh, wait. Actually, that sounds familiar. But I don't know.
That's crazy. Oh, this card's interesting.
Yeah, you like it? How is it? Is it playable?
I like your reasoning that it's board by protection. I don't know. The doubling the power... I feel like that's a win more, but I mean it wins. That's the thing, it wins, right?
It does win.
Like, at this point, you should be winning if you can like, play this. But I like your board wipe protection kind of reasoning. You know, it's a card. It's a card. It's a card that's probably going to be really fun to play. So I wouldn't knock it until I try
it. I'm going to swing at you with it.
Okay.
Okay, Darren, here. Let me swing this for you. What if, in response to the board wipe, you double a target creature's power?
That's true.
That's kind of the thing, you know. You activate it when you pump. Like, I'm about to lose my Galta. Let me double its power. So now you have a 24/24
it's
token.
It's a double Galta. and then when you swing next turn, you double it.
Then you double it again. You know, it's all my experience from playing pummelers. Like,
I didn't even think about that.
You don't just double ones, guy. You double as many times as you need to.
That's crazy. Actually crazy. And then you give it double strike. Oh, man.
Okay. Slow down.
No. I understand why they made this legendary, because you'd be like, double. You can keep it, yeah. And then you get more than one token. It's just funny.
Ooh. Yeah.
I think.
Well, technically, you can do that, right? Because it's a legendary.
Yeah, you can.
You just kill it and then play it. It's not a creature. Yeah.
Like, I think this will definitely see play in Commander, just because of cards like Doubling Season and like Parallel Lives and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
Because when you get your token, you're going to get double that token, and then whatever pumping shenanigans you did right before that. And then, yeah, Micah's right. Like, in Stompy decks, like, this thing is just. It's protection. Like, I think it more is protection. The win more is, I think, just like icing, like after.
Yeah. It's nice.
After your board wipe. Like, it doesn't use board wipe. It's like, oh, I'm going to swing at you now because
this is
no one has a board anymore.
I love this card. This card is hilarious. You've sold me.
Because you could play this turn 3, I think, pretty reliably. If, like, turn 1, dork. Turn 2, steel leaf. Turn 3, this.
Yep.
That's so good.
That's
and
good.
If they kill your Steely, if you get another one.
Yeah.
After you double its power.
Okay. Should I give it to the next person or?
And it's a dinosaur.
Something?
It's so cool.
Fungus too.
Fungus nest. Who? Michael Tyrant. All right, Darren, number 4.
All right, so my card is Souls of the Lost. 1 and a black, creature spirit. As an additional cost to cast a spell, discard a card, or sacrifice a permanent. Fathomless Descent. I don't know what that means. Souls of the Lost's power is equal to the number of permanent cards in your graveyard, and its toughness is equal to that number plus one.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like a Goyf. Kinda, this, not really, it's right?
Pretty much.
It's different, but it is comparable to cards. Like, it's even better than like the standard Boneyard Worm or the Goyf from Dominaria, that one.
Or Borg Lore Goyf.
Yeah, or Borg Lore Goyf. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But the thing about this card that makes it actually really strong is the cost to cast a spell. You need to discard a card or sacrifice a permanent. You're probably gonna be discarding a card. If you're putting this in a Dredge deck in Modern, that's a free discard that you can do.
Oh, you see this in Modern, okay.
I can see it in Modern, okay. And then you're tossing land in the graveyard. It might be different from like a Loam style kind of deck. So it'll be, you know, it's a different type of dredge. But I can see it. What else? There was another deck that I was thinking about, but it has potential. I love this card, okay? I would play this. I'm probably going to get more than one of these. More than one set of these and throwing them in random decks to try.
Hmm. I mean, it's in the same category as the Goyves, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty
similar. Yeah, the stat line.
And the Dominaria one you said, it was just creatures, right? Accounted creatures?
I think it's creatures in all graveyards, I believe.
Oh, in all? Oh, okay.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different. It's only, what, permanents in your graveyard? Or, yeah, permanent. So, yeah, Descend. I'm not sure how I feel about the additional cost. I mean, it is nice for, like, the decks that want to discard. And you probably do want to discard with this guy because Descend is a thing. But I feel like a lot of the time it might also be a downside. But I want to see this work because it is, you know, very on flavor with Descend, right?
Yes,
100%. In this set, but it's just I don't know, something's missing.
It's probably missing like Trample or something. All right. Oh.
I think it's that, something like that. Yeah.
I guess. Sorry, correction. Urborg Lore Goyf. It's only creature cards in your graveyard.
Oh, okay. So this is better, it's right?
Different. Depends how many. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because this is also creatures on top of lands and like other things.
Yeah. Perfect.
So this would be better. Yeah. I'm kind of between like what you guys said. Like I think we all like the stats on this. I would say I would kind of lean more towards Darren's side about the additional cost, but I'm actually looking at the sacrifice permanent part of it more. I think Darren kind of mentioned it, Dredge. I don't know if Darren wanted to see Reanimator so he can pitch like a card. But sacrificing a permanent, and then I think we kind of saw some of it already with Wilds of Eldraine. There are some cards that you kind of want to sacrifice before they do something. Like, off the top of my head, that White Saga that exiles a creature. And then the one that brings back, like, I think if... Like, when it gets three counters, like, it does something. Or it comes back.
Oh, Elspeth?
No, no. There's one in Wilds of Eldraine we were saying I think, Chapter 1, it exiles a creature. And then I think in Chapter 3, it brings it back.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
But then, I think with this, you can just sacrifice that. And then
and it's gone it doesn't
trigger. And then maybe it's like some other things too, like, I mean, kind of like a fringe thing, but this is the one I'm thinking of, is, what's that artifact that where you go to the graveyard, you draw a card, Ichor Wellspring?
Oh, Ichor Wellspring, yeah.
Yeah, like things like that, I think you can make it work. I mean,
what's that blessing card that when it, I think
draw three
when you, yeah, draw three and
treacherous
then
it blessing. Every time you cast, right? Every time you cast something, you take two damage or something.
Oh yeah.
Something like that. Perfect.
Yeah, that's there you nice. Go. Yeah, huh? That's a permanent too.
Like on top of like Darren's examples, I like playing Aristocrat, so maybe that's why I looked at the sacrificing side a bit more.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm just curious how high you can make this go.
Well, there's 60 cards in a deck, so.
I guess.
So 50, 59, you know?
Yeah. But I could just chump it forever.
That's a problem, right?
That's how you fling it. You fling it into your next one.
That's true. A lot of these cards. Skull Sport Nexus. A lot of these cards that count graveyard things just can get walled really easily. Yeah, I think that's one of the problems with this. Unless you're playing them, you know, the one that keeps coming back and has a.
What's that?
That's a different card.
It's Feasting Troll King, right?
Oh yeah. Wait, hold on.
He's cooking. He's cooking.
Alright. Yeah, I think that's it for this card.
Alright, number three, Kevin.
Okay, number three. Okay. So this one is Malcolm, Alluring Scoundrel. He costs one in a blue. He's a legendary creature, Siren Pirate. He has Flash and Flying. And whenever Malcolm, Alluring Scoundrel, deals combat damage to a player, put a chorus counter on it. Draw a card, then discard a card. If there are four or more chorus counters on Malcolm, you may cast the discarded card without paying its mana cost. And he is a 2/1 rare creature. This feels like a pretty good tempo card. I think Pirates is kind of a bonus on it. But I think the most important thing for this one is the flash, just because if you're playing tempo, you kind of want to have your mana open. So if they don't do anything, you can play your cantrips, or you can just play this afterwards. Flying is a good evasion. 2/1, I think, is a fair body on it. So when you deal combat damage, normally you would loot, but then after a while, you can just start pitching cards to play them. Turn 3, turn 4, turn 5, turn 6. Like, turn 6, you can activate this already and, like start playing stuff for free. It can get hit by your opponent's removal pretty easily. But I think even without, having an evasive 2/1 that loots is a pretty good floor for it.
Yeah, I like this. It's very, like you said, tempo. Flash flying is nice. And you're probably going to get a hit in at least, for sure, the first turn it appears, right? Like, you play this on your opponent's second turn, flash in, and then you swing in for free, because a lot of people aren't ready for a turn two flyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's looting. It is nice. I do like this. What deck would you play this in? Like, just tempo decks?
Tempo deck? I don't see it in tempo deck, because tempo deck is more, like, you're reactive. Trying to protect. It's more reactive, right?
Yeah, like this, like you kind of have to build it so that you can take advantage of the chorus thing.
I was thinking more of, remember that card from the last set, actually, the Prodigy card. It's kind of similar to that. Like,
yeah,
it's a cheap creature that can do stuff late game if it sticks around. It's that kind of thing. So, yeah, like that's the thing. Like, you don't want this in a tempo deck too much. But at the same time, if it does stick around, even with a tempo deck, you wouldn't mind pitching like a card just to cast it for free. Like another creature or a curiosity or like a draw, like a cantrip. Mm. But I think it has more value if you have bigger spells. So
yeah. I see that you can also like put protection spells on this, because I think this would want like a card that can at least give it ward one or something, you know, something.
So you're thinking that curiosity that's for legendary creatures.
That's a really good one.
Wow,
and it is legendary.
You manifested a card that existed already.
You were all about that card.
That's a good card.
A curious reprint. Yeah.
Oh man, I can put this.
This is technically a win card, right? Like, you can just keep swinging.
Right, like, they're kind of forced to address it.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't... Like, I have to kill it. And I feel like you wouldn't really mind it eating up a kill spell, because it kind of warrants it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this. It's nice.
I'd want to play this. I'd want to play this.
What is the card? The Legendary Curious?
Yeah.
Forgot.
Darren, you should that know. One.
I forgot it. I have like,
I know you do.
Four of them.
You have.
I don't know where they are. Yeah. They're somewhere.
This is it. This is his target.
Yeah. Oh man.
Okay. Perfect. So now my question is, how many how many cards of this would Matthew run?
I would run 4, honestly.
Yeah. Wait, we gotta link this to Matthew.
Matthew's gonna run this for sure.
When he I thought would, like, yeah. Dude, I wish it was a merfolk too. Like, it'd be crazy in merfolk.
It felt like it's almost there.
Yeah.
Felt like they couldn't give a merfolk, it'd be too strong.
Yeah, it'd be strong. This is nice. Yeah, I like this.
Did you link it to Matthew? Oh man, he's gonna run this.
I can't read the rarity of the.
I know. Yeah, I thought I thought my number 4 card was an uncommon. It's a rare. Right?
Yeah, I can't. I thought this was a mythic. It looks.
Yeah.
It's hard to read.
It's when you actually, but you need to see a common to know what an uncommon looks like.
I just look at the symbol on the left R.
The bottom, yeah.
Oh yeah, because commons are like you can clearly tell it's a common.
Yeah, it's rare and mythic for me. I can't.
Oh yeah. Oh.
I can't tell.
Are you colorblind?
Apparently we are.
All right. My number 3 is. I feel like this might have been higher up actually. Obviously, you guys know this card. You're very aware of it. I'm sure. It's a molting collapse. It costs red and a black, or black and a red. It's a sorcery, rare. It has choose one. If you descended this turn, you may choose both instead. And again, descend is if a permanent card was put into your graveyard from anywhere. And it has a destroy target creature or planeswalker and destroy target non-creature, non-land permanent with mana value 1 or less. And we've talked about this before. It's a strictly better, what is it, Dreadbore?
Dreadbore.
Yeah.
And I think this is just going to be huge in Modern because it can hit so many things, mana value 1 or less. In Standard, it might hit less things, but I think
it can still hit things.
Yeah. It addresses like a mono-white Soldiers, right? Or Zorius Soldiers, I guess. So I think it's playable in Standard, but I feel like it's going to see more play in Modern. And Descending is so easy in Modern with fetch lands, with everything, artifacts. It's just a good card. Yeah, playable, yeah.
I agree. I think very playable, and especially in those colors. The first thing was Rakdos Scam.
Yeah.
I don't know if they run strictly like direct kill spells like that, but I think even if it's not mainboarded, this is a really good sideboard piece.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you said, you can easily trigger this from a fetch land, and you're hitting two things. And that's horrible. Like Hammer Time, you're hitting
creature, my gosh, yeah, this destroys like a Hammer Time.
Or like Sigarda's Aid. Or two Ornithopters, you know, it's it's very mean. I guess Jund can run this. I think pretty easily
for
too.
Sure. Yeah,
because Jund exists. Death Shadow like also has like fetches and you know like things to activate it. I wonder if I don't know if he'll get rid of Fatal Push, but I think it's a really good contender just because it's a Planeswalker.
Yeah, it's every red and 6.
Yeah, kills red and 6. Yeah.
And Darren, yeah, you like?
So
the freaking Jund card.
It's a beautiful card. I love this card. People, I think when I look at lists that have Rakdos in it, they'll have some lists have one Dreadbore on the sideboard. So this if Dreadbore is slightly playable, Molten Collapse is even more playable. So this card is good.
Good.
I play it.
Yeah. Good. It also pitches to both Fury and Grief, so that's nice.
Yep, that's right.
It does.
Why do you even need this card when you can just Fury?
I just realized there's a deck for this. I probably repressed it, but Jund Sacrifice decks.
Oh no!
Yeah, you gotta sell this card to Tabari.
It's like there's a cat in the oven. Hit two things.
This also hits Jund Sacrifice, right?
You could kill it's an affirmative mirror match. You like, die oven, die cat.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I gotta look this at Tabari. What's Tabari's name?
You can kill the food, too, right?
You can kill the food. Oh, my gosh.
It is nice. Yeah, good card.
This card's good.
All right, Darren. Number 3.
What are we looking at? We have removal. Get Lost.
Wow, how mean.
1 and a white, instant. Destroy target creature, enchantment, or planeswalker. Its controller creates 2 map tokens.
What's a map token?
Map token is pay one, tap it, sacrifice an artifact, target creature you control explores. Activate only as a sorcery.
Huh?
You like this card is, what's it called? Disappearance?
The Sword of Sorin?
Yeah. What's that called? Faithful Absence.
You
know. I know.
It is an upgrade.
It's an instant. Yeah, it's an upgrade to, well,
wait, what?
It is kind of an upgrade to Faithful Absence.
Because Faithful Absence was an instant, right?
It's an instant. So Get Lost hits enchantments, right? Okay, maybe it is. Maybe this is strictly better. Because I don't know what's, like, would you rather, like, explore twice or draw a card as an opponent? You know,
I 100% think Get Lost is better.
Okay, there you go. So, there you go. Strictly better. Maybe, I think. It's a good card. I'd play this. I don't, like, that's wild cards that I've already used up in Arena that I wouldn't mind using for Get Lost.
Oh, these are rares. Oh.
Yep.
Kevin, you like? Wait, what do you like more? Faithful Absence or Get Lost?
In terms of, like, what would I rather use?
Yeah.
I think this one kind of works out better if you use this. Exploring twice is not really that good, especially if you have to pay mana for it. And the only thing I would say that the Faithful Absence has over it is it's two artifacts. I don't know. It's having two artifacts on the two board. Artifacts. Like, you can craft with them. You can sacrifice them to, like sacrifice permanent shenanigans. But then this one just hits more things. I mean, it adds... What does
Enchantment.
Faithful... Enchantment.
Fable only hits creature and
planeswalker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this was more flexible. Yeah, the only downside is, like, you're giving them two tokens instead of one. I don't know. I mean, if they're playing Academy Manufacturer, then, you know, Faithful Absence is worse because you're giving them one of each. But this one's a map token. They don't care.
they wouldn't matter.
Yeah. I like this one more. It's less of a downside.
And what if they don't have a creature to actually explore with? You know, right. That's a thing, too.
That's the big thing. Well, two big things, right? This hits enchantments, which Faithful Absence does not. Mm. And map tokens are a lot harder to cash in, I feel like. Because, first of all, they need to be playing creatures. Second of all, sometimes they won't even draw a card. Because you only draw if it's a land, right? Otherwise, you put it back, and then the creature gets a counter. Yeah. Which I guess is downside, but I think this is way better than Faithful Absence, which always gets them a card. Because, the enchantment is so big for me. Because there are so many enchantments running around right now. And I think this is just good. This is so good. Okay. I didn't even see this.
Well, maybe it was because it was lost.
Because it looks like an uncommon.
But yeah, I think this is playable. 100%.
I agree.
White's getting a lot of actual removal now.
It's the worst color, you know?
Yeah, they gotta help it somehow. Alright, number two.
It's funny, because my next card is also a white card. It is Unstable Glyph Bridge. It's a double-sided card.
Oh, yes.
It costs 3 white. It is an artifact. And it says, when Unstable Glyph Bridge enters the battlefield, if you cast it, for each player, choose a creature with power 2 or less that player controls. Then destroy all creatures except creatures chosen this way. And it has a craft ability. You pay 3 white. So craft is, you exile this and another artifact from the field or the graveyard. And you flip this over and it turns into Sand Swirl Wonder Glyph. It is an artifact creature, Golem. It is a 5/3 with flying, and it says, whenever an opponent casts a spell during their turn, they can't attack you or planeswalkers you control this turn, and each opponent who attacked you or a planeswalker you control this turn can't cast spells. It is the rare.
That's a 5-3. Did you say that? Sorry.
Yeah, 5-3. Yeah, 5-3 flying. So,
what the heck is this card?
Another craft card. So it's another one of those things that that does two things on both sides. So on the front side, it's a board wipe. It's kind of a not perfect board wipe, I think, because it has it flips over. You can craft with it.
So would you say it's an unstable board wipe?
So I guess, yeah, the flavor is it's unstable, and then once you craft with an artifact, it stabilizes it and turns into like a massive golem, I guess. But so after you board wipe and you flip this over, it turns into a 5-3 flyer, which is another body, which is another clock. And then it has like a tax effect, where if an opponent casts a spell, they can't attack you. Or if they attack you, they can't cast any more spells. Which is kind of hilarious for me, because like... So... You're kind of putting people on, like, they can only do, like, one of two things. Or, like, they can't attack you. So you're kind of, you're kind of, like, deflecting damage away from you. But I like how it's a board wipe that costs 5, which I guess is fair. But the crafting ability is at the same cost. So you can just, like, activate it next turn. So then you can, you already have, like, on turn 6, you already have this clock that's gonna, you're already, like, have a 5-3 flyer, and you're also like cutting down your opponent's tempo because they can't do all the things they can normally. So I think on a control shell, this is really good. Yeah, it's funny in multiplayer too. It's just funny.
It is. Yeah, this
is gonna be a headache.
This avoids Malcolm. You could choose Malcolm. And these craft cards kind of remind me of Adventures in Eldraine, because it's basically a spell and a creature, right?
Kind of. Yeah, it's kind of like the opposite, where like you have the thing first and then you...
Yeah, it's interesting. I like what you said. It's basically two cards again, and one is a board wipe, one is... this time it's a... Well, actually, the first one was also like kind of a win con, but there's a flying 5-3 golem that's... It doesn't even look like it's flying. I don't know, it's weird.
I didn't even know it was flying. I thought it was a 5-3 first. I'm like, oh, it's a clock.
But yeah, this is nice. These craft cards are interesting. But yeah, very solid value. Very fair, I think. Nerd?
Oh, this card's a headache. I see it.
You're the stacks player.
You know, potentially, right? I'm already thinking about how I can use this. This is terrible. I wouldn't want to play this. I would hate to be the person behind this.
Really?
Like, is that a spell?
That doesn't mean I wouldn't play this card. This card is so interesting. I feel like in a multiplayer game, you would need to team up with against whoever's playing this deck. Basically, like whoever's playing this card, not the deck, right? So once you play the unstable part, right, you'll have like everybody will have like at least some creature to fight against the sand swirl thing, okay? But then you kind of need to like I see it, like you need to kill it, or and then another person would attack, right?
But see, that's the thing. If someone tries to kill it by casting a spell, so how does that work? Does the trigger stay?
Huh. Oh, they can't attack your play. No, that's only this turn.
It's dead, right? It's dead, so it doesn't apply anymore. That's what I wanted to clarify with you guys actually.
Yeah, so if you kill spell this, can you swing on that turn?
Oh, never mind then.
I don't know.
Well, no, you would still need if it stands at like the person can't attack, then the next person will have to attack, right? So it's like there's some teamwork involved.
But can you swing after you kill it? Would it like get lost?
I feel like it's one of those things that it's like. Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things that once it's like a marker that like you the person has.
That's like, imagine right, kind of like an arena. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Right.
Static ability, right?
It might so be it goes a static away. Ability. That's why. That's why. I feel like, like I was trying to imagine this in arena, and I imagined that like emblem, like what Darren said. But I feel like it's a static ability where.
Wait, actually, no, it's a triggered ability, right? Wait.
Oh, it's a triggered ability. Huh.
Whenever, or and then.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, it's kind of like an emblem thing.
Like an emblem thing. Yeah. We'll test. Then, yeah, that's the thing, Darren. If someone sacrifices like half their turn like half their, you know, ability to kill this. I'm saying, let someone else.
Then they swing at you.
Yeah. They didn't have to. Yeah, that's the thing. They don't have to attack you. They can attack other people. They can do everything.
Oh, that's true.
But okay, if they attack you, they can't cast spells. Or they can cast spells before then attack you, and then same thing.
Oh man, this is then like if it's just one, if it's two people at the end, this is.
Oh no, then yeah, that feels bad. You lose. Feels bad.
You lose essentially.
You lose. But, yeah. Yeah, very valuable.
Yeah, interesting card. That's an interesting card.
It's interesting.
Interesting card.
It's an artifact.
Kevin likes
artifacts. All your cards are.
Well, not they all are. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. All
right, my number two, and I feel like you guys probably avoided just putting it on your list for dupes because this is a crazy card. This is Bone Horde Dracosaur. It costs 3 red. It's a dinosaur dragon creature, mythic. It has flying first strike, and it has, at the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top 2 cards of your library. You may play them this turn. If you exile the land card this way, create a 3/1 red dinosaur creature token. If you exile the non-land card this way, create a treasure token. And it's a 5/5. And this is just crazy value as soon as you untap with it. That's a big if, but if they don't kill this immediately, you're going to draw 2 extra cards. You're going to have an extra creature, an extra treasure token, and you're going to have a flying first strike 5/5. And I, if you attack with this once, I feel like you're winning already.
Yeah.
Any more than that, the game's over, right?
Yeah.
For 5 mana. 5/5 flying first strike.
It's
you
on
draw
curve
2.
For a flyer.
It's so good. This is insane. Like, this is the premier finisher in, like, control decks for a while, right? At least in standard.
It's kind of like the Goldspan Dragon in a way.
Yeah.
Goldspan costs 4?
5. It also costs 5.
Oh, 5. But it has haste. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. True, yeah. And it's a 4/4, I think.
Yeah. That's usually how it is, right? If it's a 5 mana haste dragon, it's a 4/4. If it's a 5 mana 5/5, it usually doesn't have haste.
But this is so much more.
Has so much value.
So much value. Part of me was like, how did this card go through? But then I feel at the same time, it kind of encourages people to actually run like straight removal. And I think that's kind of why we're seeing white kind of get like something. Like, Sawblades kills this, you know?
Oh, yes. Oh, true, yeah.
But, I mean, it already attacked, so the damage then, done, I mean, Get Lost, like, hits it, you know, it's...
Yeah.
I feel like, at least... Yeah, run a removal. Run a removal on your decks, people, if you're gonna...
You will lose if you don't.
Yeah. Because this is what happens, you know, stuff like this, cards like this.
This is crazy card. This is like a 5-mana Ragavan.
It is, right? Yeah.
Oh, man, it is.
It's so good.
Because, you can even play them. And if you don't, it doesn't matter. You still get
you
stuff.
You got value from it.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you guys avoid putting this? Because that's so crazy.
I have a question, actually. I have a question for the paleontologist in the group. What's the difference between a flying dinosaur and a dinosaur dragon?
Dragons aren't real. Wait, what? No. Wait, a flying dinosaur
How is this a dinosaur dragon?
The snout?
I mean, the head is definitely
The head looks like a dinosaur.
Dinosaur, right? I guess the wings.
Like biology-wise, like what makes it?
It kind of looks like a pterodactyl, but
yeah, that's how I'm thinking too.
But it's not a pterodactyl, right? It's like a more dragon.
Because it's.
I think that's what I noticed. Like the heads of the dinosaur, the dragons, is usually kind of different.
I think when this card got released, people were like, "Dragon Skull Summit is real. It's an actual dragon."
Oh.
That's funny. You gotta play that in the deck.
That might be why.
Yeah.
Like, what's the most dragon-looking thing we can slap it into?
Oh man, but yeah, crazy card.
Oh yes,
play it if you're in red, please. All right, Darren, number two.
Okay. So my number two is Amalia Benavides Aguirre. Whatever. Hopefully I said that right. It's white, black, legendary creature, vampire scout. Ward 3. Ward pay 3 life. All right. Pretty good. Whenever you gain life, Amalia explores. Then destroy all other creatures if its power is exactly 20. Okay. And then it has explore text. I like this card. I think we've talked about this. It's a 2/2. Yeah.
We have talked about this.
We have talked about this card. And we still have there's still a rulings issue for this card. But it's still a good card.
I can simulate it now if you want to, because it's not an arena, but yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically what we're trying to reference is that this card works with Wild Growth Walker.
It goes infinite, as in the game draws with Wild Growth Walker. Right? Is that the conclusion
that
you
is
came
the,
to?
That is the conclusion we ended up with. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wait. Do you need to explore first and then...
Any part of the loop would trigger it. You either gain life, which triggers her, which makes her explore, which triggers Wild Growth Walker. Mm. Or you explore first, which triggers Wild Growth Walker, where you end up gaining life, which triggers her.
Yeah. So you need you need a third piece, essentially, to trigger...
Wait, what?
See, it's a question, right?
Because it'll kill the wild growth.
Well, no, the trigger is on the staff.
Well, actually, maybe it does.
Basically, this card has potential in wherever world, in like an explore deck that I already have. It's just like an icing on top of the cake. This card is. It's funny.
I kind of see what you mean though, Micah, because I think the wording on this is not as straight as like, because it says then destroy all other creatures if its power is exactly 20. It's the
I don't know.
It's okay.
We'll save that for next.
Yeah,
we'll have a judging episode.
We all don't know any of us.
We're just doing rulings.
Simulated an arena.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you like
it? What do you guys think about this card?
I think it's good, but you definitely have to build around it. And I don't think... would you run with Wild Growth? Because Orzhov's not particularly into exploring, but this guy, you don't have to do that. You just gain life and it explores.
Yeah.
So it works. It definitely works. To me, I would just rather run like a Johnny's Pride Mate or the other one, but... it's more spicy.
Yeah, this one's more spicy, I guess. I feel like if you do end up running her over like the cards that Micah said, it's because you're trying to get that 20 trigger. But then...
But then you kill your things that are triggering.
Yeah. Too, right? So I think Darren will run this just so he can get the combo off. Which is why I think we need to try out the interaction, just so we know what really happens, you know?
Yeah. It's also because I already have this deck, like, on paper. I already have a deck that's an explorer deck that really, I can just, like, take out a couple of cards and, like, boop.
And this fits
pop
it
in there. Yeah.
Like, you have
it's
a shelf.
It's Abzan, yeah.
Okay. I want to see it. Does it have the rhino?
it's the same deck with the rhino.
Yeah, there's those colors.
Yeah, I want to see it. Yeah,
yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Also, it helps that she looks like a nerd. So
Does look like a nerd.
What's the word where you? I don't know.
What? What?
Similar. What's the word? I also wear glasses. There you go.
Okay. Sure. All right. Number one card. Gold
number
medal.
Number one card.
Yeah.
My number one card is Zoetic Glyph. It costs 2 in a blue. It is an enchantment aura. And you can enchant an artifact. And it says, enchant artifact is a golem creature with base power and toughness 5/4 in addition to its other types. When Zoetic Glyph is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, discover 3. And this one is an uncommon. So,
it's uncommon.
I am actually surprised that we didn't have more Discover cards down our list. But oh, I like this one because, well, I like all the Discover cards, really. But this one kind of does a lot of things also. It's an Ensel artifact.
It is. And pretty much.
When it leaves the battlefield, either through removal or if the artifact creature dies, you discover three. And I think this is one of the few cards where the discover number is the same as the mana cost. So there is a chance you can just like end up like flipping another one of these over.
Oh yeah.
But I think overall discover is just a really strong mechanic because you either get something put in your hand or you cast something like from your deck. Like it might not be the right timing, but it's free value. You're getting your value back with this one.
Right. And we didn't say what discover was?
Oh no, we didn't. So yeah. Discover is also a new mechanic here. Let me pull up what's the card that would have the
So while you pull
pretty much up, Cascade.
Cascade, right?
Pretty much, right? Here.
Let me look for one of the common lands. So Discover is an ability. It says exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card with mana value like X or less, which is the number it says. Cast it without paying its mana cost, or put it into your hand. And then, yeah, you put the rest of the cards in the bottom. It is pretty much like Cascade, which I guess would like one of the number attached to it.
Yeah, instead of using the card's mana value.
So, like, for this one, for Duetic Glyph, I guess practical purposes, I think we've all kind of done it. Darksteel Citadel. Yeah.
Of course. Ornithopter, yes.
Ornithopter, you know, like, things like that. And, like, and if that somehow goes away, then you discover three. So, I mean,
you get another one.
You're getting another one of these, or like something, like anything.
Or a soul artifact.
Artifact. Oh my gosh! I feel like Darren's just like cooking with all of these cards.
It's terrible. Or you can hit the saw blades and then just kill something else.
Saw blades. There you go.
Oh
my goodness!
Easy saw blade.
But yeah, it's flipping it. I think discover. Anything discover three or higher, I think is really good value. I mean, even lower ones are good, but three, I think, is a really good like sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys will see this card.
Yeah, this is.
I might play this card.
This is pretty much its full artifact copies, 5 through 8, right? But yeah. I think it's better because it has discover three.
Yeah.
And its full artifact is 2 mana, and it is 5/5, but I feel like 5/4 is not really changing much.
And if you're playing modern, you can play the wake up the other one.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, that. Matthew put up that card that we're talking about later on the video version. But yeah, this is just value. This is. I want to play this too now.
We're all running.
We're all gonna play this.
Like, everyone plays an Ornithopter, and like, wait a minute.
are you going to do what you think?
Micah, you have that Affinity deck, right?
I do, yeah.
It's mostly blue, so...
It is mostly blue, yeah.
Attach you to one of your artifact lands or, like, anything, and then...
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Yeah, Darren, you like it? Yeah.
I do. Observation. Mm. I think it's a set symbol.
Yes.
It's like the set symbol.
Oh.
It is a symbol. It's the glyph. I don't know what it stands for.
Yeah, it is.
It's an eye.
It looks, yeah.
I'm it's sure like they explained a rose it.
Compass and a pirate ship wheel.
Yeah.
With an eye in it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. It's a nice number one. It's an uncommon.
That's a good number one, actually, yeah.
It is. Discover three. I was just like,
Discover three. That's Cascade on a 4-drop, right? What is that?
Yeah, that's Cascade on a 4-drop, yeah.
What's the 4-drop with Cascade?
Bloodbraid.
Bloodbraid, yes. Oh, that's so good. Alright, my number one. Kind of boring. Cavern of Souls, reprint.
What's that? What does that do?
It's land. As Cavern of Souls enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Tap, add colorless mana, or tap, add 1 mana of any color. Spend this mana only to cast a creature spell of the chosen type. And that spell can't be countered. Obviously a good card. Only works in tribal, or you should probably only do this in tribal. But having uncounterable creature spells is my jam. I play Golgari, I play Stompy. I play tribal. So, yeah. Everyone knows how good this card is, right? Was it a mythic in the last set? It was, right?
Yeah. It's been a mythic except when it first came out where it was rare.
Oh. You could have to know that.
Yeah, I actually used to have a playset of them. But
you used to? You got rid of it? Or you sold it?
Because they had rotation, so I traded them for store credit. Three of them. I kept one.
Oh. It's a nice art, too. I like this art.
It is. It fits. But yeah, like kind of like what you said. I mean, it's a reprint, so Modern already has this, but now Pioneer has it.
Oh,
I'm not sure how big Control is in Standard, but I think
we'll see.
Pioneer has some Control shells that, you know, people would like this. But yeah, kind of. I'm not sure which decks like focus like on a specific creature type there are in Pioneer, but Standard has soldiers and.
Yeah, this will help soldiers for sure, and this will help me resolve my Dracosaurus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But protection from Pioneer, Darren. Are there any tribal decks in Pioneer? Not off the top of my
slivers.
Head.
Slivers.
In historic slivers.
Yeah, historic slivers.
Yeah, there you go. That's a problem deck. In historic,
I think the problem with slivers is you don't know which one to counter, so it would
matter. True.
I know you always
you waited for the first sliver, but at that point I think you already lost.
You always try to kill the one that gives flying haste or the mana ones. Those are the two big ones that you want to kill.
He would know. He's a sliver player.
I died by them so many times, but also won a couple of times. I'm less successful.
Then Darren, Micah said he would run this in like his stompy decks. Like for you, like if you like, what would you run this in? Because you don't tend to play a lot of creatures.
Oh, I mean,
yeah, you don't.
But then, if you did run this, where would we see it?
Well, it fits in any. I wouldn't want to play this Well, here's the thing, they've printed a lot of cheaper, creature like. 5 mana lands.
Like Unclaimed Territory from the last Ixalan.
Yeah. And they have Secluded Courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are plenty enough to make like any type of mana in a tribal deck, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do like, 12 of these, you won't be able to play spells. Like non-creature spells consistently, I would say. Maybe. It might become a problem, but I think that's not as much of a problem as I think it would.
So where would you run this?
Humans.
I guess. I mean, we have Aether Vial, but I guess.
I don't know, because it's
giant. The thing is,
a three color tribal.
Maybe. I mean, that is the purpose of it. Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's like it's good. It gets really good.
It's good for mana fixing, and yeah, like for Micah's case, like it makes your big stuff uncounterable.
Yeah, I think the main problem still is cost. Okay, like, Cavern of Souls.
Money.
No, but yeah, I'm just asking though. Time. Like, if you
anything, any tribal deck. What? Werewolves. I have two human decks. Well, kind of. One's more of a soul.
I mean, yeah, I used to run this in humans. So I used to run four of these in humans.
This is so good. Was. I wish I could. Maybe not. I can afford it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, to your point, there have been new cards like Unclaimed Territory and Secluded Courtyard that kind of cover this. So unless you just need it for the uncounterable, I mean, you can work without it.
Yeah.
Just play more creature decks there, and that's kind of
what I was. Oh, is that what
I was kind of. Have you played? I feel like you played some of these cards before. Like, I feel like you played Unclaimed Territory, but I just can't remember.
Yeah, I feel like you have.
I played it in Dwarves.
Dwarves? Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. What's the last?
You did. I was like, I wasn't sure if that was you or Matthew.
Yeah,
same. Ninjas. Well, we both have the same. The same deck. I also played ninjas. Okay,
you did.
I remember that secluded courtyard. That deck
didn't get to do anything,
dude. That deck it was crying in the corner.
It was.
Dude.
Yeah.
I also play slivers. No spoilers, but I might pull that out. We'll see. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. I'll build more tribal. Okay. You'll see. You'll all see.
I'll see. Okay.
Okay. All right, Darren. Gold medal.
That being said, my number one is Kite Sail Larcenist. Okay.
Oh, human.
It's a creature. It's a 2 and a blue creature, human pirate, flying ward 1. When Kite Sail Larcenist enters the battlefield for each player, choose up to one target artifact or creature that player controls. For as long as Kite Sail Larcenist remains on the battlefield, the chosen permanent becomes treasure artifacts with tap sacrifices for any mana, any color mana, and it loses all abilities. So that being said, it's a creature, but also I think I'll put it in like a tempo deck. So does that count as a creature deck?
If they have flash.
I mean, name a creature like Malcolm. Type.
Oh, pirate.
Oh, Malcolm. He's uncounterable. Malcolm.
Oh, it's the deck is coming together. There it is. You know, pirate. I'll play the old pirates too. Oh, I'll play the siren pirate. Flyer thing. Oh man, there Which you one? Go.
Freebooter.
No, Storm Tamer. Storm Tamer.
Huh.
It has 3 creature types, I think.
Oh yeah. Merfolk pirate wizard or something.
Siren? Yeah, it's a wizard. I'll play like those.
This, huh? You like?
I'll
this?
Make a pirate deck. About this. Because Matthew keeps talking
about
this card. I think he overvalued this card, but then looking at it, oh man. I didn't read that it hits each player. So in a multiplayer game.
That is, yeah, that's annoying.
That's one for everybody. Smack everybody around, you know?
And also, it's up to.
Oh yeah, you can choose. Yeah, you don't have to choose.
Make a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and even then, yourself.
Yeah.
Because you have to hit yourself. So you can choose, oh, none of mine, thank you.
Okay. In competitive, I think in historic, this card is, because I still play mono blue tempo in historic. It's not as good. But this can, I sometimes play different 3-drops. I usually play Jin. Sometimes I tried the Hottie Jin. I'll try the Larcenist. Because Larcenist hits another creature, so it's a much stronger tempo play. It's less effective as a closer, but you know, I think there's something to play around here in that deck. I'll try it again.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like, it does feel like a tempo play. Like, it is technically removal, right?
Yep.
But to me, I wish it was 2 mana and then maybe like adjust the stats, because 3 mana is pretty big. Like you said, it's kind of competing with like your win cons, right?
Yeah, essentially.
So it's kind of in an awkward place for me. But I can see it maybe being split with like some other 3-drops.
Yeah,
I do like it. It's just kind of awkward.
Yeah, I kind of like what you guys said. It's, I think, they kind of fit like a lot of pieces in there. Like the ward 1 is a bit random, but yeah, I guess, but to kind it. Of protect it. But yeah, at the same time, it's because it costs 3, it kind of feels weird playing it for tempo, because usually you expect it to be cheaper if it's something like that. Maybe late game it can kind of help you, because it kind of, it blanks, like if opponent has a creature, like you can run over it. But yeah, it's, but then I think late game, it might not, because if it's stats, it might not even do like as much as you need it to. But Matthew's definitely gonna run this.
In multiplayer, it's,
yeah, well, multiplayer, it's, I funner. Think it's yeah. things.
It's fun, this is funny in yeah. multiplayer.
So we'll see how Matthew kinda activates this.
Yeah. Matthew's
definitely, it's also an ETB trigger, so
oh boy.
I guess you can blink it. And then kind of change your targets. He's gonna do something with it. I can feel it.
He was trying to. He was like, "Oh, will this work?" I can feel it. I'm like, okay. No, I think I see what you mean. Like, if we're thinking historic, yes, I feel yes. like if you can manage, it's it, like, okay, the my whenever I play I get run over so much because I can't handle all the aggro decks, okay? But that's, it's like, you're, this is a removal spell and a creature. So it's like two, in a way, it's doing two things at once. It's, yeah. it's less effective as a finisher, but it is one card that you can use. It's like taking away some away from taking something away from them.
Yeah, it's definitely still a tempo play, even if it's
yeah. It's more of a it yeah.
Yeah, it is nice. I like it on paper.
in actual use, we'll see.
It was.
I'm sure we will. Matthew will. Yeah.
Hey, if I'm not playing it, Matthew will.
All right, and we have some runner ups. You always want to talk about that? Or the lands, even? We can go through them real quick.
Huh. Want to do lands first, or should we do...
Yeah, because we... Both of us, we picked...
Okay. Yeah, so I think with this set, we got like a cycle of rare lands that are man lands. So I picked the Rakdos one. So for all of them, they entered battlefield tapped, and then they have an you pay a mana cost to activate them. So mine turns into a 2/3 with menace. And then whenever it attacks, you rummage. So you discard a card, and if you do, draw a card.
That's so good.
Mm. That's the Rakdos one.
Yeah, the Rakdos. So I like this one because I think Rakdos colors, it kind of fits that mechanic of rummaging. The Menace, I think, is a good evasion so that it doesn't die. But also for these colors, I think Descend, it kind of works with it.
Ooh, that's true. Yeah, that's big.
The other ones, the other one I was considering was the Gruul one, where it untaps the creature, so maybe for like dorks and stuff. But I think this one, just because this one, it makes sure that the land goes through just because of the menace.
Yeah. I chose the Azorius one because flying is always nice. And it's cheap, 3 mana to activate, like the Rakdos. It's a 2/3 flyer. And when it swings, you get a map token. Which is also nice because it kind of becomes a win con, like when you have it explore a bunch. But it's just so cheap to get a 2/3 flyer, 3 mana.
That one's pretty good.
I like it. Darren has... Oh! Yeah. This.
So hold on, wait. I think each of them are really good. Though
the manlands.
The manlands are really good, I feel.
They're unusually cheap, I think, this cycle.
Yeah. They are.
I think some of them are upgrades from the older manlands. Like... Mm-hmm. Almost full, complete upgrades, I would say. Like the two color mine lands. But I chose something different.
Yeah.
I chose what? Echoing Deeps. Okay. It's a cave. So you may have Echoing Deeps enter the battlefield tap as a copy of any land card in your graveyard, except it is a cave in addition to its other types. I like this because I forgot what land card I was thinking about, but if it was in your graveyard, you can copy it. I forgot what land I was thinking about.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It exists.
It exists. There was one that
I didn't know what it's called. It exists. This is closest I can give you.
Like, hey, I have a Tron land that just died. It's in my graveyard. I'll play it. I have a, what's that card that, I have a Merit Lage in my graveyard. Play it. You know, things like that. It helps because there's some decks that actually, are like playing, what's it called? They're throwing lands in their graveyards, so it helps really well. This is like an extra Vesuva, this is an extra Thespian Sage. I like it in that way. I think it's just interesting. I don't have a card. There was a card that I wanted to play that was relevant that I forgot. Okay.
In the set? What do you mean?
No, in general. I was thinking of a land that would be in my graveyard.
Yeah, not Dark Depths. Isn't that the
No, I don't play Dark Depths. That's a Chris card.
That is Chris.
Something like that, Chris. Though? Or?
I feel like it's something like that, but it's not Dark Depths. I'll have to think about it again.
Right, but this is, I mean, similar to Thespian Sage, right?
Kind of, right?
You have to work around it. It has to be in the graveyard for it to do anything.
Yeah.
But, I can see this being in some weird combo decks that people are going to figure out eventually. Yeah.
I don't know how Chris does his combo, but usually you're throwing things in your you're throwing lands in your graveyard and bringing things back. I like with it's like if it's like a Life from the Loam build, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't play Legacy lands. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin. Yeah.
Is yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I like the dinosaur. Yeah. And then we have runner-ups.
So this one, mine is Scytheclaw Raptor. It costs 2 in a red. It is a dinosaur creature. Whenever a player casts a spell, if it's not their turn, Scytheclaw Raptor deals 4 damage to them.
That's mean. What
is this?
And it's a 4/3.
And it's a 4/3.
Uncommon.
That's a Micah card.
It's an uncommon. This is first of all, it's a 4/3/4/3, and I was like, what? And then it has like that anti blue thing attached to it. If it's not their turn, it deals 4 damage
crazy.
For you each spell.
4 damage.
spell.
This is a nice Punisher card.
This is hilarious. I'm like,
I'll play this with Rurikthar.
Yeah, and it's a dinosaur, Michael. Wow. You can even run it in your dinosaur deck. Just to, like have it.
It's a dinosaur.
My Rurikthar take 10 damage.
Take 10 damage.
And it's not legendary. You can stack these. You know, like,
oh, you can.
You want to play a spell? It's 16.
This is crazy. This is funny.
It's an uncommon. I like, it's
yeah, crazy. I did see this. This is a funny card.
Yeah.
And it's a above rate.
It's above rate. Hilarious.
I want to see someone play.
I think you're gonna play it.
Me? I'll think about it. All right, mine is Palani's Hatcher. Costs 3 red green. It's a dinosaur. It has other dinosaurs you control have haste. When it ETBs, create 2/0/1 green dinosaur egg creature tokens. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you control one or more eggs, sacrifice an egg, then make a 3/3 green dinosaur creature token. And it's a 5/3. So, kind of similar to Regisaur Alpha. I think it was a 4/4?
Kinda, yeah.
4/5.
And it also had other dinosaurs have haste, and it comes in with a 3/3. But this comes with 2, but you have to wait a bit. Well, the first turn you already get
first
it, right?
First turn you get one, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. This is better than Alpha, right?
It is.
Well, it's 5/3.
5/3. I guess 4/4. The stats. Yeah.
This does get bolted.
That's true.
But yeah, this is a nice dinosaur. I like it. Very valuey.
Very valuey.
I also picked a dinosaur. Trumpeting Ooh. Carnosaur. 4 oh and 2 God. Red. 4 and red red. Dinosaur. Trample. This. When it enters in ETBs, discover 5.
5.
Discover 5. Okay, that's not why I picked it, because what I picked it was because of the activated. Discard Trumpeting Carnosaur. It deals 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker. You want to know what this card is good for? It's good in Cascade.
And it's a 7/6.
It's a 7/6. Sorry. It's good in Cascade because it doesn't get hit by your Cascade stuff.
Oh, interesting.
So it's an extra
that's
3.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
It's an extra 3 damage.
Oh my gosh.
That's interesting.
That's true because Bone Crusher Giant gets hit.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah. This is better than Bone. What's well, not better than Bone Crusher? But
then
it's different.
This Cascades itself.
Oh,
yeah.
Hilarious.
And then it's. You play it late because it's bigger. You're like, oh, okay, I'm not killing them with my 1 billion rhinos. I'm going to kill them with my 1/7/6 dinosaur that
I
discovered
really thought
5.
You were kidding about the discard ability.
That discovers it's a Dracosaur.
I wasn't kidding.
I know. That's why it's hilarious.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's nice. I like this. I mean, I did look at this.
Yeah. But it's cheap right now, too. It's yeah, I didn't know why. It's. Discover, I don't know, it's such a good mechanic. Why
did they print it?
Yeah, this thing, like, see, even with this, like, you can't even answer it when it hits the board because he already discovered 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, I want to make dinosaurs now.
Yeah, imagine this, Micah. Like, so dinosaur, discover 5. Like, so it hits Dracosaur. Everything, right? Everything.
Palani's Hatcher.
Oh, imagine that.
And then it gives it haste. Oh my god.
Oh, and then you got that 3/3 dinosaur token too with it.
Yeah.
Oh, the Carnosaur also triggers Descend.
If you pitch it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you can't counter it. It's in a boot. Well, there's some cards.
Oh, this is hilarious. Oh my gosh.
Oh, there's actually another card I wanted to talk about. Well,
yeah.
It's called Tishana's Tidebinder. I don't know if you guys
are. Ooh, I know that one.
It's a 2 and a blue. It's a merfolk wizard with flash. When an ETB is countered up to one target activated or triggered ability. If an ability or an artifact creature or planeswalker is countered this way, that permanent loses all abilities for as long as it's on the field. And it's a 3/2. And it can't hit mana abilities, which is...
I would hope, yeah.
So this stops a triggered or activated ability, and then it blanks whatever did it. Which I think is nice, because very few things can hit like activated or triggered abilities.
That's true.
Then this also blanks it. Now, I'm mainly looking at planeswalkers, but... You know, this. I feel like this could be in the sideboard somewhere.
It can. Yeah. Also, think of planeswalker because if it hits the three fairy.
Oh.
And then when you blank it, it loses the static ability.
Oh yeah, huh. Well, that's a good answer, right?
Yeah. Oh, Chris should run this.
He should at least sideboard, right?
It's a blue stone rain.
In a way, yeah, I guess.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah. Right? It works that way. You can counter a fetch land, right?
Oh yes, yes.
Yes, you can.
And then it would
fizzle.
Well, it already got sacked. Yeah, it would fizzle.
Okay.
And then got sacked. That's mean.
Oh, that's what you mean by stone rain. Okay, you destroy the land. Yeah.
They sacrificed it. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. Dinosaurs. I love these dinosaurs. Oh, did you want to talk about what is this? Roaming?
No, no, I don't want this.
It's a Mathy card. Just there.
All right.
It's a Mathy card. You mentioned it. Now I have to say it.
Do it.
Okay, read it.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a long episode.
This is a long episode. I'm already ready to go to the... okay, this is our last card. Okay, Roaming Throne.
Promise.
4 mana. Artifact Creature Golem. Ward 2. As Roaming Throne enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Roaming Throne is that creature. And if a triggered ability of another creature you control of the chosen type triggers, it triggers an additional time. It's a 4/4.
Interesting.
I like how it's like 4, and it's Ward 2. It's a 4/4. Very nice.
Not Ward 4.
No. Nah, it's a little too much, but you know.
So Darren, why?
Because it works really well with creature tribal decks, in which I will play more of.
Oh. So Darren, here's a question. Double,
like Amalia.
Does this trigger twice with slivers? For relevant?
Oh my gosh.
There's not really a lot of good triggered ETB triggers for
it's
for
not even slivers, ETB, it's just any triggers, actually.
No, just triggered ability.
Triggered ability, so like the ping?
Oh, triggers.
Oh, that's a win more.
I feel like I feel like anything this thing does is a win more. It's a double. Yeah,
it's a panharmonica.
Yeah,
it's good. I like. This is actually pretty interesting. No, I would not play this in Sliver.
Matthew's gonna run this.
He'll play it in Pirates. Oh my goodness, he's gonna play it in Pirates.
Water beams
twice.
Oh,
2 tokens. Lannery Storm, 2 tokens.
Oh, oh,
sacrifice
man.
2 tokens.
Kaito Larcenus.
Oh my god, there it is. Lannery Storm sacrifice +2. Yes.
Oh no.
It's a Matthew card.
It's a Matthew card. He'll play this. If he needs to get these. We
Ward
gotta get
2
him
is really good on it. I was talking about this Darren the other day. I feel like Ward is almost like hexproof. Like
it is, right? Like they're kind of. You see Ward more than Hexproof now.
Yeah. At least with Hexproof. I was playing an arena match the other day, and someone had like a... They gave it Hexproof and Indestructible, and I had a Shadow Spear out, and then I deactivated it. I can't do that with Ward.
Oh, true, huh?
Such a feels bad for me. I was like,
No, it's more like it is Hexproof in practice.
Yeah,
like you see Ward on a thing, unless it's like the pay 3, and then I'd probably pay it.
Like but Ward 2 or higher, I don't even think about it. Yeah, it's like,
yeah. Like Ward 1,
like Micah's Ward 4 is like, case.
There's that one dragon with Ward 5. It's like, huh? Yeah, I guess
Ward 5.
I think it's Ward 5. It's a dragon. It's the blue dragon. I think that's what it's. That's what
it is. And to be honest, like most of the times, usually when there's a ward creature, it just dies to a board wipe. Like my Sedgemoor witch, she has a ward cost. I don't know if you guys even noticed, but she just dies.
Oh yeah.
Because
discard a card or
discard a card or pay 3 life, but it hasn't happened. Because
Tyrannus Rex is chilling though.
Yeah,
breaking Tyrannus Rex, dude. The card. Every time it comes up, it's like okay.
That's why you hang on to
lost it.
That's why you run kill spells, you run counter spells, and then you run board wipes. You cover everything.
Just play Void Rend.
Mike has been telling us we haven't run it.
Yeah, it's a good card.
I actually have Void Rends. I never run them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've had them for a while. I was like, oh, yeah, someday.
someday, you know?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good list, I think.
I like these cards. They're all... It's a good spread. I was worried because like, most of mine are like white. So I was like, okay.
They are white. Yeah, a lot of white. Yeah.
And that is it for our podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Yeah. Thank you.
What's next time? What's next?
Next time we're gonna have the Ravnica set, the murders in Karlov Manor.
Oh, is that like a supplemental? Or is it gonna be a standard?
No, it's standard.
I don't know anymore.
It's a standard set. Yeah, like I'm excited.
Like it's an actual, just a regular old standard.
Yeah, yeah. So in between that, we're gonna get Ravnica Remastered, which is the supplemental set. And then murders the Karlov Manor.
Oh, okay.
I'm this one for... felt like it came quick from Eldraine.
Yeah, we're back in Ravnica already.
Yeah, and then like we're here back again. So shock.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, we get a new set, right? A new set. Place.
Is it the cowboy set?
Ooh. Cowboys? Yes, I am down.
This is weird.
Oko is gonna be in it.
Oh, dude. This is weird.
They
literally had like a. It's called Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
Dude, I'm so excited!
Yeah, they literally have cowboy hats on. It's
This is. Well, at least Darren's excited.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm.
He played Red Dead.
I played Red Dead. Yeah. I also, you know, we had that film class, and we just we watched three or two westerns for some reason. Okay, maybe two westerns. It was interesting, you know.
Oh, that art's crazy. Oh, that's him? Oh,
my God. Yeah, that's it for us. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Good time. I love Ixalan. Yeah. I still love Ixalan so much. Oh, my God.
Oh, by the way.
I like these cards. I like the set. I think the power level is, like, fair, but there's some good stuff, and a lot of these cards are fun to play.
I didn't even pick Galta or Gisha.
Well, Gisha's a reprint?
Yeah, it's a reprint.
Yeah.
But new Galta.
Yeah. Oh, new Galta.
There was a lot of reprints in this set.
There are, which I also like. Good value. And like Growing Rites.
Cavern of Souls. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Growing Rites?
Yeah. Resplendent Angel.
Angel.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, good set overall, actually.
Hey, Mike, are you gonna get a new tattoo?
New Ixalan tattoo.
Is it an uncommon or common?
No, this one's crazy. I can't even...
Yeah. If you guys don't know, Micah has two tattoos. Well, he has multiple tattoos, but he has an Ixalan tattoo and a Rivals of Ixalan tattoo.
It's my home.
Yeah, you can guess where they are. We won't tell you.
It's going to be us listening to this.
Yeah.
I know.
We know.
Yeah, when we get big, though.
Yeah.
Eventually.
All right.
All right, guys.
Goodbye.
Signing out. Goodbye.